Hi, I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. We're doing a special program on 2019 political and public policy predictions. I'm joined on the political left by State Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Hi, Natalie.
And on the political right by Dan McKay.
Hello, Natalie.
You got your radio voice on, Dan.
In 2018, we're going to be
much
more serious. You
guys, issues, races. Let's start with issues. What are the big issues in 2019 that you think are going to pop? Not prop, those would be like propositions, but the one that I'm going to just throw out to get you talking is growth. We are in our, you know, fourth, fifth consecutive year of 24 plus thousand in migration in the state. We're growing, we're prospering, and things are getting crowded, and it's getting harder to get around.
The developers that lead the legislature, Natalie, all have one view of growth, and that is if we become L.A., one city after another with these freeways and the rest, it'll all be good. And I don't think so. And I think we're afraid as a state to challenge what is really going to happen with putting teeth in how we're going to accommodate all this growth.
Yeah.
I'm confused, Jim.
So what's new about that, Representative? Soon to be Senator.
I get it. We're not ready to. What you just said is it caused such an interruption to my thought that I don't even know if you know what that means. The part that is shocking to me is we know growth is going to be an issue, and the alternative is what? Shut the borders, build a wall at the edge of St. George, and say Arizona, California, Nevada, stay out? Is that what you want? Because if you do, fine, we can have that conversation. But no one seems interested in that conversation.
Dan, do you see the legislature in 2019 doing anything proactive to shape, guide, direct growth? Or do you see them just saying, the market does a good job?
We do a lot of proactive things to encourage growth in a lot of different ways. So anything is such a broad definition, right?
Okay, well, I'll ask you some specifics.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready. Question and answer.
Do you see them holding municipalities accountable for affordable housing zoning?
Oh, I think they're being held accountable already. Do you need a bill to hold them accountable? I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. When I meet with municipalities now, they are all talking about their responsibility to contribute to growth. They are all doing it.
Having the state, we're more likely to see medical cannabis handed out in packets to each family by the governor than we are to see municipalities told anything from the legislature as far as you will do this for affordable housing. It's just not going to happen. Philosophically, that's what I'm saying. Look, I understand free enterprise and the rest. The legislature, they're all on board. They all think the same way. They get in those Republican caucuses, they close the door, and they don't want to deal with these things. They just say, let the free market let it roll. And I'm saying sometimes that works.
It always works, Jim.
You see the state.
And it always works, Natalie.
Dan, do you see the state investing more money in long-term planning?
Absolutely. We've invested in the past, and we will invest in the future.
I'd like to tell you that the state used to have a planning coordinator's office, used to have a state planning coordinator who had some SWAT. This is all gone away.
We threw it out to the University of Utah. We watched this great institute get it over, and they have done a great job in helping
That's
with planning.
True. Projection. That's not true. You know, it's interesting.
They're not doing a great job?
No, well, it's interesting that growth is a tricky thing, right? Because it's the free market and independent, myriad decisions that create efficiencies and create growth in economies. But there's also a state interest in guiding this growth. If you just let dispersed development happen, it's very expensive for water. If you just let dispersed development happen, it's very expensive for roads.
So the transportation.
The state has an interest in development around transit sites. The state has an interest in development that is, provides for all types of housing, that provides for more transportation choices. You look at what happened with the Cottonwood Mall development. It's kind of crazy, right? People bought property with known zoning, put forth their proposal, passes unanimously, and then we let a citizens' initiative throw it out.
Well,
I think that's something that like the 2019 legislature might just deal with.
I think you're probably right. The solution has to have three prongs, right? You've got greenfield development and how we deal with future of the greenfield development mm-hmm. in the state of Utah. You've got redevelopment. So redevelopment is an important part of, you know, what we're going to do with
infill.
But the element that I think I'm not necessarily looking at being punitive or being, you know, holding people accountable, yada, yada, yada. I prefer carrots. And so if there's ways we can create incentives based on transportation funding or changing our transportation model to reward those who are making smart use of the land around them, to me, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Jim, what are you looking for?
Look, what I'm not looking for, but what I wish would be there, for example, having building codes, a third of our pollution comes from buildings. It's the emissions that come slithering out. And we've time and time had the opportunity, the legislature has, to change building codes. And I look at all the building going around and I think we were this close to having all of those buildings included for the next 100 years. But the developers, the blah, blah, real estate lobby, they refuse to allow just these natural things, which would cost $2,000-$4,000 going in, and the payback was really quick within 5 years. But they kept saying stupid things like, "Well, you know, you increase that price by another $2,000 or $3,000, and people aren't going to buy houses." We've got to get serious about squeezing some regulation and thinking about the broader good.
Couple other issues. Will this be the year for water? Will 2019 be the year for water infrastructure investment, whether it's the Bear River, whether it's the Lake Powell pipeline, whether it's water pricing, conservation?
Well, and there's also, what do we do about watershed and how do we protect watershed? All of those questions are rippling throughout the state right now. I think this year will be a big year for water. I'm hearing it from everybody.
You've got the Colorado River Compact, which is about to
Jim's
be
favorite.
Renegotiated. They are working on it day and night. I hope we take a 50,000-foot approach. You know what? Every state is fighting for every drop that they have according to the 1920s Accord. But you know what? The Colorado just doesn't have enough water, and nobody will back off. The farmers are saying, nope, we're going to keep our 75%, and everybody else is keeping it, every municipality and every state. You know what? Boys and girls, there's not enough water.
Guys, if I were to pick, I want to ask you to pick an issue in 2019 that will surface, that will become ripe, that we're not thinking of. You know, so kind of put on your prognostication hat. Think about this. So for me, the issue is high-quality childcare. And I mention that because a lot of interest being placed on the wage gap, a lot of interest being placed on women in the workforce, and a low fertility rate. Why aren't women having more children? And then also just the societal benefits that come from high quality care for young people. I think that could pop.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, when you say, you're kind of like, well, why is this a public policy issue? I'm just thinking you could invest more resources into helping high-quality childcare, you know, enterprises to come about. Mm-hmm. You can do more to regulate the quality of them.
What does it cost for a kid?
Working women like me, you know, you put more into your childcare than you do into your house payment.
But I mean, what would it be?
I don't know. I'm not doing that now, but I did
it. You know what it is per, is it, you might know, Dan.
It can be $1,200 a child.
Okay, now, how can any working mother or father even, how could you even do that?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, that is the real trade-off, right? And that's why your people are creating more and more disincentives for people to have families.
Yeah, there might be a tipping point here where women, where businesses are seeing the value of women in leadership roles and what they contribute, and there's a reason to do it. You guys see any other issues?
One that I see, and I hope this doesn't come true, but I see the biggest issue in 2019 is what's going to happen in the White House. This report is going to come out. It's probably going to be very, very damning. Most honest people will look at it and go, holy smoke, look what this man has done. But you're going to have 30-35% of America and maybe 30-35% of Utah that are going to listen as perhaps this man says, go in the streets. Burn whatever you need. Do whatever you have to do. We're not giving up power. This is fake media. It's nothing. And I can see issues that haven't happened since the 60s where there this anger and this divisiveness, which is in the country, is headed out into the streets of America and of Utah.
Dan, very quickly your response, and then we'll go to break.
Well, I'm not going to respond to Jim. That's just, he's just messed
this
up.
This is a rule that he's now established for himself whenever it's Trump commentary.
Yeah,
I'm not going to talk about it.
I can just shift. Here's the thing. I think the one thing that will come up that will be a big deal for 2019 will be the softening of the economy. I hate to say that because, you know, we all make money for, you know, as the economy rises, we're all doing well. But this is, everything looks like it is overheating.
Stock market volatility.
Stock market volatility, all these other
rising
things.
Rising interest rates.
You've got to, this will
labor
be a
shortages.
Real nerd out. But the yield curve is showing inverted.
Difference between long-term and short-term rates.
Yeah. So we have seen some real wonky problems, right? Natalie and I get a little hat tip for that.
We're like, yeah, let's see who can be wonkier.
So, but yeah, you did race me on that. I appreciate you won. I'll give it to you. But I'll just say, you look at some of those things and all signs point to a softening of the economy. And what is that going to mean? I think all of those issues that everybody else is talking about will disappear when everybody's trying to figure out how to feed their families.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner, joined by Dan McKay and Jim DeBacchus. In our next segment, we're going to talk about political races in 2019.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For more episodes of all our in-house podcasts, click on the Local Programs tab at kcpw.org. And while you're there, please consider a donation to KCPW to support public radio in your community.
Dan McKay on the right.
Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center. You are listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. We're going to talk about 2019 political races. We're making our predictions at the end of the year. Want to go first to
salacious
our
details.
Nation's capital, Donald Trump.
He's not up for 2019.
He's not, but the election will begin. We all know that. By about February, we'll start seeing it.
Started 2 years ago.
Yeah, I get you. So we know there'll be these Democrats that come, okay, say Cory Booker. Elizabeth Warren.
Beto.
Kirsten Gillibrand. Am I getting her name right?
Yeah. What's the gen? I can't remember his full
Kamala
name.
Kamala Harris.
Texas. From Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, yeah. O'Rourke. So there'll be these Democrats. But the real thing that becomes interesting is will there be a significant intra-party challenge from the Jeff Flakes of the world or from the Ben Sasses or the Ted Cruzes?
It's your party, Dan.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Bill Kristol's raising money, you know, to find a challenger.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think – here's the thing. Jim wants there to be an inter-party challenger, and the reason he wants an inter-party challenger is he's hoping somebody else will win because I think Trump will be unbeatable in 2020. I'm telling you, you laugh.
Dan, you ended the last segment by saying that we would be in a downturn, and that's
none of those characters.
You don't win re-election when your economy is hurting.
None of those characters will look like they have tried to do anything to help the economy at all. And Trump will look like he's at least working to try and make the economy better. Tax cuts and a bunch of other
things. Jim, your prediction, you can go to the Democrats if you don't want to do the intra-party thing.
Utah voters may not be respected when it comes to propositions, but politicians will be watching the polls. Watch Trump's numbers in Riverton and in Utah County and in Logan. They are not going to carry a loser. He didn't do well in the congressional races, and nobody is going to get down with ship Trump. So watch for those changes. You will be shocked, I think, as these dominoes start falling, the Mueller report comes out,
the economy
starts dissipating, they will fall all, depending on what the public does, what that Republican core public does.
Yeah.
If they start losing faith in Trump, you can't stop Chris Stewart fast enough from dumping him.
Dan, one of the reasons I'm a Republican is I don't like, no, I'm Dane, I don't like these Democrats.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
Cory Booker, you know, Elizabeth Warren, she's not going to get my vote.
None of them, yep.
I get really excited about Ben Sasse.
Yeah.
I worked with Ben in Washington. Mm-hmm. He was a former college president, a PhD, I believe, from Princeton. I can't remember, but from an Ivy League school. He's one that would take on Trump. And the other names I'd throw out, he's a senator from Nebraska,
wins.
By the way. I don't think he does, but he's my dark horse. Scott Walker and John Kasich could also.
Yeah. Kasich has already lost to him, mm-hmm. right? Walker, you know, for all intents and purposes, I think Walker's goose is cooked. And so I think there's really not.
Jeff Flake is going to be there probably.
And yeah, but did you see? So polling numbers released just the other day. Flake's numbers were down around 20% in Arizona. Like, that's what it shows you. Even
hard.
In Arizona,
it's
which,
hard to not have your home state.
It is struggling.
Let's jump from the presidential election. Let's go to another big one, and let's go to the governor's race. Okay, the Utah governor's race. It's not a election until 2020.
Yeah.
But we know the campaign will start. There's a long list of names.
Who isn't going to be in that race? Let's just start by
who
isn't. Emily is the only one not in that
Our
race
producer won't
for 2020.
Be in. You're going to have Greg Miller, the son of the late Larry H. Miller. You're going to have our popular Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox. I don't think you'll have Speaker Greg Hughes because I think he'll be called up into the Trump administration. That's my personal prediction.
Yeah, because they're going to need people there.
They're going to need people.
They're having
there.
A hard time.
You've got the Attorney General, Sean Reyes. I don't know. I'll throw out Derek Miller, the Salt Lake Chamber President and CEO. Jason Perry with the Hinckley Institute.
Why not?
There's got to be a whole bunch of... Oh, Jason Chaffetz.
Yeah. You got all these other people.
Do you have some legislators that you think could do this, Dan or Jim?
I think it will be hard for any sitting legislator to run for governor. I don't see it happening.
So Hughes is the only one you're really seeing that.
Yeah, but I didn't see Mike Kennedy running against Mitt Romney either. So I can't, I can't.
Jim,
I'm not a great prognosticator.
How about you? You see other names or do you see some legislators?
You know, I mean, I don't know if he's thinking about it and I suspect he isn't, but I like Wayne Niederhauser. He's a former president of the Senate.
Yeah,
he's a reasonable guy.
Jim, where's the female candidate?
From all
See,
of
I'm
those.
Just
Pat Jones.
Emily is sending us notes saying, where is this? I always feel bad because Emily has to sit, though she has some opinions, we don't let her talk because, she's got the second most award-winning show and we're like third. So
her show on. Yeah,
we don't. The Hive.
Yeah.
Check it out.
My top of the female would be Pat Jones. Maybe Mia Love. Think Mia Love would ever do this?
It would be an interesting run. That's for sure.
She'd actually... It would be interesting to see her get in because we went through all those years and without Mia talking.
Why not?
It's interesting now to actually hear her speak.
And it might be in her political interest to speak, right?
Yeah,
to
yeah.
get to know her better and
Where's,
after all her experience.
What about Deidre Henderson or
yes.
Sophia DeCaro? Or, I mean, these are all great female Republican ladies.
Yeah, Amy Winder Newton.
Amy Winder Newton.
I'll tell you. Deidre is a terrific woman. She is a woman.
So those are good names. Those are
talent.
Good names.
Yep.
Okay, let's do county mayor. I'm kind of doing it by size here. So we already know that Arlen Bradshaw, Jenny Wilson, am I getting this right? Shireen Gorbani are in. One of them, someone's going to get 2 years. Who's going to get the 2 years to fill Ben's spot?
Shireen.
I say Jenny.
Boy, it's hard to pick what delegates are thinking. So you get 11. For those that don't understand the process, Ben goes to Washington. So the position is filled by 1,100 Salt Lake County delegates, and they will meet together and probably 700 or 800, maybe 600 will show up. And then they will pick the mayor for the next couple of years. Arlen's specialty, he's not well known. He's not really flashy. But everybody says Arlen knows government. He knows the ins, the outs. He knows the budget. He knows everything that's there.
Interesting.
Jenny has the heritage. She got a lot of support in
name
her
ID.
Race against Mitt Romney. She handled herself quite well. And Shireen is the new person on the block. She's smart. She's articulate. Doesn't have much
been through
experience.
A race. Been through a big race.
Yep, we'll see.
Those are interesting.
I'll just tell everybody, delegates don't like to meet twice. That is it. They and with Jenny Wilson, if they voted for Jenny, Jenny, love you, you're great. I'll just say, delegates, I have seen this time and time again now in the race. When you tell them, hey, if you pick Jenny, you're going to have to meet again and pick her replacement. My bet is the delegates are like, I'd rather not do that again.
Yeah.
And that's one of the flaws.
It'd be fun to see who's
system.
Right on all these. Dan and Jim, we have new leadership in the Utah legislature. We'll start in January of 2019. Brad Wilson will be our Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Brad has a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in the circles that I'm in, he's thought of as incredibly smart, in it for the right reasons, very strategic, a long-term thinker.
Yeah. He is all of those things. And I have not heard him talk about running for governor. So it would surprise me a little bit, but not really that much. Mm-hmm. The cruddy thing is, you know, Brad will not be speaker, right? So if he, you know, he'd have a 2-year speakership. I would like to have, you know, those qualities that you mentioned about Brad, I'd like to have him for a few years.
Just talk about leadership, what the change we have. So we go from Hughes to Wilson.
Hughes from Wilson.
And we go
and
from
couldn't
Niederhauser
find...
to Adams.
Yeah.
So Stuart Adams is the Senate president.
And you couldn't find, honestly, if you're going to put, you're going to pick two gentlemen and have them, you know, work together for Utah's benefit, I would say Brad Wilson is a gentleman, and I would say the same thing as Stuart Adams.
Yeah. Jim, your commentary.
What about Greg?
Well, I'm just saying if you're going to pick two people that are going to run the House that are in there.
Oh, I thought you were comparing.
No,
you know,
no.
You couldn't find a better
Jim,
gentleman.
Jim, are you happy with the new leadership?
I mean,
I realize there's more than just the Senate president and the speaker, but and I realize there's leadership on the Democratic side as well, but all in all, are you feeling pretty good for our state?
No, it should be Democrats, and I got to say
that's the only thing he would change. He'll take all the victories we have in the state, and the only thing he would change is
put
who's
a D
running
in
the press.
Brad did something the speaker elect did something very unique that I've never seen, and I don't know if this happens regularly, but he named a Democrat as a co-chair of a major committee, and I would hope that
give our listeners a little bit more detail there.
Well, every committee is headed up by the majority party, and the majority party happens to have been for the last 30 years in both houses Republicans, and Republicans just run roughshod, although not, you know, they're polite, but basically the decisions are made before the public votes are called for. I mean, it's very rare that anything is really at stake.
Yeah.
And so to name a committee co-chair of a committee and give that to
Big
a Democrat,
deal.
Sue Duckworth was classy, and I hope that President Adams will do the same thing.
Really interesting. Okay, we have to.
I'm available.
We have to talk about the Salt Lake City mayoral race. This is against Jackie Biskupski, who is the incumbent. Mayor Biskupski, you know, there'll be a new. This is the one big race that will be on the 2019 ballot.
I thought everybody backed out after Jim jumped in.
You have Stan Penfold, David Ibarra, Jim DeBacchus, Ross. I mean, I'm just throwing out some names. Ross Romero, Luz Escamilla.
Yeah, I think there's a fortune here of good people, and I hope we all line up there like the Republicans did in the in the presidential debates, and the more the merrier. Jump in, be there. Let's let it come to the top. Here's something to think about, though. My consultant-y kind of people, who I think I never know quite where they are.
These are political operatives, pollsters. That
they're saying this is a 1.2 million race. I'm saying 1.2 million. What could I possibly spend 1.2 million? Well, that's what the other guys are going to spend. $1,200,000. There's only 200,000 people in the city. I mean, it's preposterous that these things have gone that way, and I'm not going to spend that much money. I'm just not doing it.
I've made a prediction. I've already written a column that will be in Utah Business, but I've predicted that Mayor Biskupski and Jim DeBacchus will be the final two.
Oh.
For those of you that don't know this, the municipal race is just nonpartisan, and so everybody's on the ballot for the primary. Am I getting this right, Dan?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the top two advance to the final, and so you can get a really crazy mix.
Yeah. It's a fun jungle. Jim is about to find out what it's
how
like.
How does the gay vote go here? Because you've got, you know.
We're all gay. I mean, I don't know where it goes. I mean, that 3 out of the 4 announced people are gay. And I think it shows. And I've had some of this hand-holding. You can't do this. What will happen with this gay? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? I think it just goes to show where we are, at least in Salt Lake City. I mean, I don't think I'm considered the gay candidate.
Yeah, I don't think you are either.
I had a legislator say
I think you're gay.
I think you're considered the outspoken progressive candidate.
A fabulous senator from the southern part of the state put his arm around me, and he's just a big bear of a man that I just totally disagree with. And he said, Senator, we never hated you because you're gay. We hated you because you're a liberal, crazy-ass Democrat. You know, I can live with that.
Sounds like Mike Noel to me.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Hey,
I got some ideas.
Hey, I want to end this program. 2019 should be a dizzying political year.
Yep.
But we want to give props to our producer, Emily Means, to end out the program. This is Emily is a skilled, insightful, very pleasant, very kind person. We've really enjoyed working with Emily. She's taken on a new position.
And she's leaving us. unless we can figure out some way and add this to the pledge drive, because we need money to keep Emily Means around here. But that said, we're going to miss her.
Yeah,
that's
Jim,
my gripe.
You get the last word, Jim.
I'll go with a gripe, Emily. Thank you so much. You can't imagine what kind of cats we are to her, just to get us all in a studio at the same time. And Emily does it, and she's pleasant. And occasionally,
she has to throw it down.
But
hey, you can save Emily.
You
Let's start
I'm
this
pleasant?
Campaign. Save Emily at 801-359 KCPW. Or online at kcpw.org.
And everybody make 2019 a great year. Thanks for listening.